We always need a little bit of extra light. Well, let's turn for our scripture reading today to the book of Titus, chapter 2, and want to look at just a few verses that we find there towards the end of the chapter. Titus, chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 11 down to verse 15. Titus chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. And so reads God's word. Well, I'm sure we all are very well aware that you need to be careful crossing the roads these days, and particularly in weather like this. And I remember being instructed, I think by my mother, very carefully to make sure that before you cross the road, look right, look left, look right again, and then walk straight across. I don't know whether that was, I seem to remember something about the Green Cross Code, and trying to teach my own children and grandchildren these instructions. Look right, look left, and then walk straight across. You have to look both ways. And the Apostle Paul here tells us too, it's important in the Christian life really to look both ways. He wants us to look back and he wants us to look forward. In verse 11 he says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. He wants us to look back to the grace of God that has appeared. Look back to that. But he also wants us to look forward. And he says in verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're waiting for something to happen in the future. We're to look forward to this that's going to happen in the future. He tells us to look forward to the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So he says, look back at the grace that has appeared and look forward to the glory that is to appear. And then in between the two, in between, he says, really, get on with it. Or we could say, live in the light of these things. He says, look back, look forward, and live now. So that's really how I see these verses as dividing up, and that's what I want us to look at this morning, to look at these two things and to see that we're to live today in the light of yesterday and tomorrow. So first of all then, look back. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God has appeared. Grace. Grace, what a lovely word. Grace, it's a precious word. It's grace which is so wonderful and precious to each one of us. Grace means, really, well, someone has put it like this, God's riches at Christ's expense. If you can remember that little acronym, I think it is, G-R-A-C-E, grace. God's undeserved favour. God's riches, his forgiveness, his mercy, his goodness. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's because of what Jesus has done for us, his death on the cross, that we can enjoy God's grace. Now, God has always been gracious. Paul says here that the grace of God has appeared, but God has always been gracious. If you remember back in the time of Moses, when Moses had led the children of Israel out of their slavery in Egypt, and they'd gone into the wilderness, they'd come to Mount Zion, and God had met with Moses. God had given to Moses the commandments for the people, and while Moses was up on the mountain, the people had started to worship an idol. And God was angry with them, and he said to Moses he was going to destroy them. And Moses pleaded with God to be gracious. Moses pleaded with God to reveal his glory to him. And there on the mountain, God revealed his glory. We read in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, and maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God is gracious. God is loving. God is forgiving. God is faithful. God has always been gracious. But Paul says here that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared, has now appeared. It's become visible. We're able to see the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus has come into this world. The eternal Son of God has come down from heaven. He has come into this world, and at this time of year we think especially of him coming and being born in that manger in the stable in Bethlehem. Grace has appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. He has come into this world. And John, in his gospel, you remember at the beginning of it, tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace has appeared. The grace which brings salvation, which brings us deliverance from sin and death and judgment for all people. For people from every tribe and tongue and nation. All people, the offer of salvation is for all, regardless of background. For everyone who hears and believes. Here is the wonderful promise of salvation, eternal salvation, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has appeared. Grace has appeared. The Saviour of the world has come. At this time of year, at Advent, we look back at the birth of Jesus. Remember that grace has appeared. See, amid the winter snow, born for us on earth below. See, the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years. See him lying in a bed of straw, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. We look back to the birth of Jesus into the world, and we are reminded here that grace has appeared. And that gives us reason to rejoice, doesn't it? As we look back, as we think about the birth of Jesus into the world, joy to the world, the Lord has come. We look back that grace has appeared. There is good news of great joy for all mankind. A Saviour is born to you today in the city of David, and you shall give him the name Jesus. Grace has appeared. This is something for us to ponder, to think about, to treasure, to relish in, to savour, that the grace of God has appeared in the person of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. I think it's C.S. Lewis who says that this is the visited planet. And of all the planets in the universe, this is the one that Jesus has come to visit. that he has come down from earth, and he has appeared, and he has revealed himself, and he has made himself known. Grace has appeared. We rejoice in the birth of Jesus into this world for our salvation. So we look back, and grace has appeared. But then when we get to verse 13, we read that while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, grace has appeared, and glory will appear. We wait, Paul says, we wait for the blessed hope. We haven't seen everything yet. There's more to come. There is another appearing which we are to wait for eagerly for. We're to wait with keen anticipation. You know, like children maybe waiting for Christmas, but they're waiting eagerly. They're waiting expectantly. They're looking forward for that day to arrive. They get excited when you open the next door in the Advent calendar, and it's a day nearer to Christmas, or when they wake up and they say, or they say to you, how many more sleeps until Christmas? You see, they're looking forward eagerly, expectantly, and Paul says here, we're waiting. We who have seen and have grasped and have understood the glory, the grace that has appeared in Jesus Christ in his birth into the world, we're waiting eagerly now for his glory to appear. This blessed hope, this hope which is sure and certain, this hope that we have for the fulfillment of the hope of blessing. We're waiting for this blessed hope, this hope of blessing, this glorious appearing, this appearing in glory of our great God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the eternal Word who is going to come again. He who appeared in weakness when he came as a child in the stable in Bethlehem, he's going to come again in power and glory. He's going to come again. The one who suffered humiliation and rejection is going to come again, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is God to the glory of God the Father. This is the one who gave himself, as Paul says here, to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do good. He will appear. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. And one of the verses in that hymn says, every eye shall now behold him, robed in his dreadful majesty. Those who set at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to the tree, deeply wailing shall the true Messiah see. He will appear, and every eye will see him, and every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the hope, you see, that we have, the hope for all who believe in him, the hope for all who know him as their Saviour. This is the great hope which we all have before us. This is the blessed hope, the hope of his coming again to reign in power. And our world needs hope, doesn't it? When we look around at the world today, it does seem to be so hopeless. The problems which seem to face us, the problems which take up the attention of the world leaders, the problems that seem to face mankind today, they seem beyond our ability to solve them. We can't solve the climate crisis. We can't solve the wars in the Middle East or in the Ukraine or wherever. We can't bring, no matter how hard, whatever, no matter what efforts are made, we can't establish peace and justice on earth by our own efforts. This world needs hope. And that hope is Jesus. Not only to give us life now, but to give us, to come and to put things right, to come and establish his perfect kingdom of peace and justice. So we look forward, you see, in hope to the appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. There's been the appearing of grace. Jesus has come. And there will be the appearing of glory when Jesus comes again. But then in between the two, Paul writes this in verse 12. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. See, so we look back, yes, and we look forward, yes, but what about now? What does this mean for how we are to live now? Well, Paul says it means that now we will say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. We'll say no. We'll renounce, we'll reject. It's a very strong word. It's the same word is used whenever Peter denied Jesus. You remember when Jesus is arrested and taken and put on trial, and Peter follows at a distance, and he's asked, you know, are you one of this man's followers? And Peter denies Jesus vehemently. He denied him. He said no. He rejected him. Well, that's the idea here. We are to reject all ungodliness. We're to reject everything which is displeasing to God. In our lives today, we are to say no to all ungodliness and to worldly passions, to living by the world's standards and values. We're to live, say no. And on the other hand, we're to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives. I mean, Paul is really concerned. He's writing to Titus, who seems to be responsible for leading the church in Crete. And one of the things he's concerned about is how the people there live. And in verse 2 of chapter 2, he says, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith and love and endurance. In verse 5, when he's writing to the older woman, he says that they're to be self-controlled. When he's writing to slaves in verse 9, he says, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. Try to please them, and not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, to show that they can be fully trusted, that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. In verse 6 he says, young men, teach them, encourage them to be self-controlled. See, this is his emphasis, how these Christians in this place were to live then. They were to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and they were to be self-controlled. They were to control how they acted. They were controlled, someone has summarized it like this, their temper and their tongue and their thoughts. This is what it means to be, how to live today, to be self-controlled. So you see, Paul is saying to them, now, in the present, in this present age, now, today, this is how you are to live. So this is our present responsibility. How we are to live today in this world as it is, in this secular society. We're all aware that society today is increasingly hostile to God. rejects belief in God, rejects the idea of God as the creator or God as the ruler of this world, or that God will one day be the judge of all mankind. Our world today, our society, the culture in which we live, rejects this, but our responsibility is to live now in this world as those who believe in God, who believe he is the creator, who believe he is the ruler, but who we believe he is the judge, we believe he is the savior. We live in a society which rejects Christian standards and values, but we are to live God's way. We are to march to the beat of a different drummer. We are to be salt and light. We are to be citizens of the kingdom of God. We are to live differently now because grace has appeared and because one day glory will appear. We're to look both ways, back and forward. Look back, the past, the appearing of grace, and the joy which we have because of that. And look forward in the future to the appearing of glory and the hope which we have because of that. And meantime, now in the present age, we are to live godly lives, pleasing him in every way. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the joy which we have because Jesus has come. We thank you for the hope which we have because Jesus will come again. And we pray that today, in the light of these things, that you'll help us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. That our lives might make the teaching of God our Saviour attractive to those around us, that others may look at our lives and say, yes, we want to be like that. So Lord, we pray that you help us to live such a way that our lives make an impact upon those around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.